news music here for our guest.
Yeah.
He's going to swing into action immediately out of force of habit. It's Joel Daly, and he's got a book out called The Daily News. And welcome to WGN,
you know,
Joel.
I finally got to use that. All my life, I've wanted to label my presentation The Daily News.
It's perfect.
And they said, no.
Why didn't you call your commentaries
makes perfect sense.
The
Absolutely.
Daily News? Why didn't you call your commentaries on the news The Daily News?
Oh, we talked about that, but they said, no, that I don't recall why they objected to it. But oh, I know, because there was a newspaper called The Daily News.
Oh, well, so what? Spelled differently.
Something about it's a confusing thing.
I was talking earlier about how part of my routine for a great part of my life was watching the 10 o'clock news with you and Fahey and John Coleman and Bill Frink. And I think the way I remember it was a great feeling of comfort watching this team. Were you all as comfortable as you seemed to be in those days?
No, that's a very good way to describe it. We talk about chemistry and all of that stuff. But, yeah, there was a family thing there. And It worked both ways. You know, we felt family with the viewers and vice versa.
And going through the book, and there's some great stories in there, great photos in there, and also some of your commentaries are in there. And when I was looking at your commentaries, it made me think the Eyewitness News famously labeled Happy Talk and also famously number one here in Chicago. But really, the newscast itself was quite newsy. I had your commentaries, and I guess because John Coleman would stand on his head once in a while, it got that
label. At least once.
Because truth be told, Bill Curtis and Walter Jacobson had more happy talk than you and Fahey Flynn.
Well,
they chatted more.
It was a misnomer that was brought on, I think, a confusion between the presentation of the news and the promotions of the news, which were very... Very
well, the commercials were
terrific.
Funny.
You know, Joe Settlemyer did most of them, and they were funny.
If you want to really have a good time, I think on YouTube, if you Google Flynn Daily Eyewitness News TV commercials or something like that, you can find them online. They really
the commercials.
Yeah, they were really really good. Did you ever balk at doing any of those?
No. The only one I didn't like was they put us in a pool one day. A swimming pool, and we were supposed to come up, our heads were supposed to come up on cue. Fahey Flynn, Joel Daly. I nearly drowned.
What were you supposed to be doing when you were underwater?
No idea what I was supposed to be doing on the water.
That's hilarious.
We couldn't walk on it.
How did you feel about, well, you were doing your own editorials for forever, and then that pretty much ended in television news.
Well, again, we had a group of people called consultants, and they came around and said, this guy does this thing about a minute and a half at the end of the show. You know about those things, Bob.
Uh-huh. Yes, I do.
And no pictures, no video to speak of, and he just talks. And that's just a waste of time. We've got to have pictures and motion and movement. So the then general manager said, well, say your goodbye. Your last one is the end of the year or something like that.
Wow. Same thing happened to Bob many times.
Yeah.
Many
well,
times.
It's always a fight. And I think that last commentary is in the book here, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it is.
January 1978.
So was that heartbreaking for you to know that your opinion wasn't going to be broadcast like that anymore?
Well, it was me. It was what I did. When I came here from Cleveland, I had not done anything like that other than a few so-called celebrity obituaries. I remember Gus Grissom perished on the launch pad in early in the space program. And so I did obituaries that were more than just so-and-so died today and so forth. And the then news director said, you know, you write pretty well. Why don't you try something at the end of the news every day?
Hmm.
But we were doing two newscasts then, and I had to do two of them.
Two different ones?
Yeah.
That's a lot of writing.
That's
that
a lot.
Really got to be a little bit tough.
So that's like 20 different topics a week.
Yeah.
10 years, 3,000 commentaries you mentioned in the book here, and then you tell the story of the end of that reign as you anchored the 10 o'clock news with Fahey Flynn, and then eventually you moved to other newscasts, including the 4 o'clock news, which as you look back now, the 4 o'clock news, big deal in recent years, but then it wasn't, was it?
Well, I called it the news for shut-ins. And I was wrong. We had a few other people that were watching.
Yeah.
And it turned out pretty well because the general manager knew I was a little unhappy with leaving my longtime perch in the 10 o'clock news. And he said, I want to extend your contract. And I said, I don't want to. I'm going to go somewhere else. You made your bed and you're going to lie in it. And I'm not going to be a part of it and all that good stuff. And he said, well, what I can do to entice you to stay. So, you know, that never comes along in this business.
Right.
So I started naming really outrageous things.
Like?
Well, I finally ran out of things. One was a parking spot in the building. That was like,
forget
awesome.
About it.
Yeah, no, I couldn't wing that one.
But you wanted to go to law school then, didn't you?
Well, I didn't want to. It was just something that a long time ago I thought about doing. And it blurted out. I said, and I'm going to go to law school at night, and you're going to have to cut me some slack because I won't be here for my usual 14 hours a day. And I thought that was the deal breaker. He looked at me. He said, anything else?
Doable.
That was Dennis Swanson who said yes to that, right?
Yes, good old Dennis, yes. He still owes me 3 weeks vacation. You know, I had... I had to do this experiment with Oprah. That's a really good Chicago TV trivia question. Who was Oprah's co-anchor on the news in Chicago? It was I.
Yeah, people don't even remember that Oprah did the news.
It was not memorable.
It lasted a short while. What time was that broadcast
4:30,
on?
4:30.
And it was you, Oprah?
And as usual... coterie of weatherman and mm-hmm. sports
so
guy.
So that was before she did that morning show?
No, she came here to do the morning show, and she was an immediate success. She was a lady on fire. And Dennis said, well, you know, she's doing everything so well, and everything's going good. Let's make her a news person.
Oh.
And that just, you know, and she's the first to admit it. She was a great, great interviewer, and they made a special set for her to do an interview every day. But then she had to read the news, and she wasn't very good at it.
It's a different...
I'm sorry.
How long did that last? How long did that
go? 3 weeks.
3 weeks?
Yeah, I'm glad they gave it time.
That was the vacation time I had.
Joel Daly's here. We'll take a quick break and then talk more about the book, The Daily News, and Joel's other lives as an actor, an attorney, a country music performer. Did I leave anything out? A pilot?
How did Fahey Flynn, Joel Daly, Bill Frink, and John Coleman first get together? You can be sure of one thing. It was no accident.
Those commercials all sort of made you feel like the Channel 7 Eyewitness News team in those days hung out together, and the bit was usually, how did they find each other, right, Joel?
That was the classic question. How did you guys get together? So they had the scene in the commercial that you just heard a piece of, where Fahey's a war correspondent in a trench, World War I. And I'm an intrepid reporter crawling down amid the shelling and all of that. And Fahey's typing his story, and I see the guy, and I yell to John. John comes over, and then Frink comes over, and that's how we all got together.
It's very, very funny stuff. Joel Daly's with us. His book is The Daily News.
How did a kid from Great Falls, Montana, get a scholarship to Yale, first of all?
You know, I still don't know how that happened, but thank God. No, I had everyone has someone in their life, I swear. And I had a teacher named Grace Beecher who was, she taught Spanish, but I knew her from... coaching the debate team. I was a debater and an orator in high school. And she insisted I apply for scholarships because I was going to go to radio announcing school in California or something.
Hmm.
And So I did, and a number of schools answered positively, but Yale came through with a full scholarship.
That's amazing. And so after you graduated from Yale with this full scholarship, then you were abroad.
So to speak.
I'm still a guy.
No, I mean, you went abroad.
Well,
that's what I meant.
I joined the Army.
Right.
I knew I would be drafted because it was just after Korea, and I had a student deferment for 4 years. So I opted to take a third year as an enlisted man in order to get the broadcast MOS. I was already doing radio in New Haven. I had done a summer of television down in Rock Island. And so I was on my way to be a broadcaster, and I wanted to take advantage of the Army. And it did. It worked out ultimately. I went to their broadcast school, their journalism school, and ultimately finagled an assignment to the Panama Canal, where they had the only, at that time, television station in all of Central America. So it was a U.S. showcase, and we got the resources and the programming, and it was a wonderful experience.
I find it fascinating. We were just talking about this, that after all these years, you remember the teacher's name, Grace Beecher.
Oh, she changed my life.
Yeah.
And I swear there's somebody in everybody's life that should be acknowledged.
Exactly. You came to Chicago, was it 67?
67, right.
And where along the line did you pick up this love of country music?
Well, I was born in Montana. I grew up in Spokane. And all of my relatives had ranches in Montana, and that was the only way I could make a living early on. So I went to Montana every summer and worked the ranch, and the only thing you could hear was this little station, KSTT, I think it was, something like that, in Great Falls.
Uh-huh.
And they were playing Hank Williams and all those great old songs, and so that's all I could listen to in the truck or on the tractor, and I learned to really like it.
I'm really curious about, at what point did you decide, I've had a really interesting life, I'm going to write a book about this?
Well, it turned out that I have two lovely granddaughters, one of whom has just turned 25 and has gotten her master's in education from DePaul and is a wonderful writer. It seems to come down in the genes. And she started coming over on Sunday night for dinner and asking me questions about various stories I would bring up, like the time I went to Thailand or Southeast Asia. And she said, she started taking notes, and I got the commentary books out, and I started supplying her with materials. She was going to write the biography, but she got busy. And one day we were having the house painted, and there was no place for me to sit. I mean, the kitchen was being painted, the living room was being... So I went to my office, and I sat down in front of my computer, and I said, well, heck, I'll write this. So that's how it happened.
Wow. Yeah, one thing leads to the other. We have a text that just came in, somebody saying, I always remember the Channel 7 commercial with Joel Daly eating spaghetti.
Huh.
I believe George Wendt was a taxi driver for Fahey Flynn.
That's correct.
Is that true?
That's correct. Yeah, that was...
like some fun days, hiring George Wendt to be the taxi driver.
You know, the deal with the spaghetti was... You pick up a spoonful or a forkful, and it would be dripping down, and you just try to get your mouth around it, and some guy, hey, aren't you Joel Daly? And it would go everywhere.
And when you walk down the street these days, because you still are living in the area here, do people mostly talk to you about those commercials? I know you'd probably want them to remember a commentary, but what do they say to you when they see you mostly?
They usually say, what was Mr. Food really like?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think you made that clear. And Fahey Flynn, before we let you go, you work with a legendary Chicago newsman.
I do.
How was he different off the air than he was on the air? Or was he?
I don't think he was, and I think that was part of his charm. Mm. I think it's a part of anyone who succeeds in this business to be yourself and show yourself, however you do it. And Fahey was... exactly as you saw him. He wore his bow tie religiously. He was very opinionated, and we did not agree politically, but it never showed. It never came up. The only time I knew he disagreed with something I said in the commentary was he'd look at me and he'd say, "Well, that's very interesting." Okay, Faye.
Enough said.
Okay, enough. Very interesting.
Joel Daly. The book is The Daily News, soon to be available on Amazon. For now, you can go to joeldalythebook.com. It's a great pleasure to have you here, and watching you over the years, it was clear before I met you, and I think we did a show at Channel 11. Didn't we do an interview there on the Friday Night Series?
I think we did. For the Broadcast Museum, too.
Yeah, we did, but before that, it was clear, it just the camera doesn't lie, and you could tell this man is a smart, genuine broadcaster, true professional, and it was what a great thing for Chicago that we had you anchoring the news here. For how many years was it, Joel?
38.
Pretty good run.
Wow.
It's still the record. I think it'll be eclipsed eventually.
But. I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
It will not.
I don't know. My record's
they don't
seven.
Keep anybody that
I got
long.
7 years. That's it.
Yeah.
Good luck with the book, and hopefully we'll see you down the road.
I'll be here.
Joel
Thank
Daly.
You.
Thanks, Joel.